This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina Republicans could have a bigger role in the Trump administration's policies than anticipated. Donald Trump recently approached the far-right Freedom Caucus in the U.S. House about revamping the tax code. Republican Mark Meadows of North Carolina is chair of that caucus. Meanwhile, North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones becomes the first Republican to sign on to a proposal to investigate Russia's interference with the 2016 election. And the president is indicating that a new executive order on immigration could be unveiled any day. With us for another update from Capitol Hill is Time Warner Cable News Washington correspondent Jeff Bennett. Jeff, welcome back.
Great to be with you as always.
Let's talk immigration. President says he plans to issue a new executive order on immigration that would address some of the objections from the federal appeals court. What should we expect?
Right, and that revised executive order could come even today. But we should expect a more streamlined and tightened up version. That's the word that administration officials use to describe it. We understand the revised travel ban targets the same seven mostly Muslim countries that were listed in the original executive order. But this new one, at least according to the draft, exempts travelers who already have a visa to travel to the U.S., even if they hadn't previously used it. We also understand that green card holders and dual citizens of the U.S. and any of those countries are also exempt. The new draft also no longer directs authorities to single out and reject Syrian refugees when processing visa applications, and it also removes preferences for certain religious minorities. So the idea here is to make this new ban affect fewer people so that it would survive the legal challenges that are almost certainly sure to pop up.
Well, I guess that was my next question. That doesn't mean there won't be legal challenges to the next ban, right?
Well, right. You know, one of the issues the court had with the initial ban was its broad scope, but I spoke with a few immigration advocates, immigration attorneys, who say regardless of the verbiage in this new order, we should expect a legal fight. Another interesting thing they point out that, you know, for people who are interested in the refugee resettlement issue, even if Syrian refugees are no longer automatically rejected under the new order, the pace of refugees coming into the U.S. from all countries will still slow significantly moving forward. And that's because when the courts put Trump's original ban on hold, they didn't touch the 50,000 per person per year refugee cap that the Trump administration has instituted. And that is a cut of more than half from the cap under the Obama administration. So for people who are really interested in that issue in particular, regardless of what is in this new travel executive order, refugees will still be affected.
That's Trump on refugees. The president also spoke today about immigration in the United States, a new scope for Homeland Security. Tell us about that.
Well, the Department of Homeland Security is officially laid out the Trump administration's plan for their aggressive enforcement of immigration laws in the U.S., and they want to do it by raising the standard on asylum seekers and unaccompanied minors entering the country. They want to send people who are awaiting immigration proceedings in the U.S. Back to Mexico, those who come from Mexico. And they also want to expand the use of what's known as expedited removal proceedings for unauthorized immigrants. So, I mean, I know that's a lot, but I guess the major difference for people who would think, well, how is this different from the Obama era? Because Obama definitely deported lots of undocumented immigrants and got a lot of pushback for that from Democrats.
Certainly more than his predecessor, George Bush. But yes, go ahead.
That's right. And so the major difference here is, whereas President Obama believed, you know, DHS has finite resources and we should really use those resources on targeting criminals and recent arrivals who are undocumented, the Trump approach seems to be that all of those people are the same, that if you're undocumented and living in the U.S., you are illegal here illegally, and we and the government should use whatever, you know, vast resources are available to it to expedite all undocumented immigrants as quickly as possible. Of course, it's one thing to put that in writing. It's a very different thing to then actually find a way to pay for it and institute it. But that is the language that is included in this draft from the DHS to the federal government agencies. And we expect to learn more about that and this executive order later this week.
It's interesting because if you do broaden the scope to include just everybody, it means it makes it more difficult to target those individuals who may pose the greatest threat, those with criminal backgrounds. You can't, unless you double or triple, I suppose, the amount of people you put onto it. If you have the same number of people looking at more people, then it means there's less scrutiny for those who are more dangerous.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing here is that based on the press conference that the president held last week, he seems to be backing away from his campaign pledge to end the program known as DACA, which gives protections to people who were brought to the country illegally as children. He says he wants to, you know, consider that program with heart. That was an executive order that he could easily undo with a stroke of a pen. And so we haven't really gotten any more guidance on that. But there again, that's a very separate issue from the travel ban and then the DHS memos, too. So this is sort of moving on three parallel tracks here.
All right. We're talking mostly now about executive action, but let's talk about the president's relationship with Congress, a tax plan. We expect one from the president. We expect members of Congress to hammer out their own version of that. What do you hear about the president apparently including Mark Meadows in the conversation about the executive tax plan? Tell us more.
Right, and we've talked before about Mark Meadows' growing influence here on the Hill, but I understand the Trump White House has been working directly with Meadows, who heads the House Freedom Caucus, and that's that group of 30 or 40 of the most conservative members of the House. And what's interesting here is that, you know, traditionally it's the House Ways and Means Committee that handles tax reform, but my reporting on this suggests that the Trump White House reached out to the House Freedom Caucus, if not before, then at the very same time as they were working with members on that committee who actually handle tax reform. Now, Meadows says he wants to handle corporate tax reductions and individual reductions, where he wants, you know, American taxpayers to fill out their tax reform on a postcard. They want to simplify that process and do it at the same time. He says it should be comprehensive tax reform in the full meaning of the word. You know, wedding corporate tax relief to the personal income tax relief at the very same time. Republicans generally have been really skittish about doing that because, as you can imagine, they're both, you know, major efforts. But to do it simultaneously is what the House Freedom Caucus is calling for. And, you know, what's also interesting about this is because when Trump was elected, there were, you know, some quarters, people in some quarters thought that would be the end of the Freedom Caucus because they'd be rebels without a cause, you know, with Donald Trump in the White House. But now it appears that Trump is working with them, and this group is also, you know, working in concert with him. You know, those foot soldiers really trying to help shake up Washington in the way that Donald Trump talks about. And Donald Trump even tapped Mick Mulvaney to be his budget director. And Mick Mulvaney is the former South Carolina congressman elected in the Tea Party wave, who is a founder of the Freedom Caucus.
Does that have any political significance when we talk about, we've yet to see really Donald Trump and Congress interact on any form of legislation? We've been talking mostly about rhetoric and executive action, but there are these nuts and bolts kinds of ways in which the executive and the legislative branch, you know, work together. Is there any significance to this? House Ways and Means is the place where we hammer out a tax deal. Now he's working on the side with another caucus. Does that have an impact on his relationship with the leadership?
It does have an impact on his relationship with the leadership, but I would also say it's politically effective for the White House to do it that way, because the Freedom Caucus really has, you know, torpedoed Republican legislation that they thought didn't tack far enough right. And so in getting buy-in from the most conservative members who frankly have shown, you know, a willingness to get in the way and stop things, even frankly drive Speaker John Boehner from office. So in a way, bringing these people into the process early on, I could see why the Trump White House would prefer to do that politically and policy-wise.
Mark Meadows, a Republican in Congress who gains importance in the Trump White House. Walter Jones going in the other direction, the first House Republican to sign on to that bill that would create an independent committee to investigate Russia's role in the election. Tell us more about that.
Well, if approved, the legislation would create a bipartisan appointed commission, similar to the one Congress authorized after September 11th. Attacks. And we should point out that President Trump has repeatedly said that he had no contact with Russian intelligence officials. But this would be the fourth congressional investigation should it take place. The U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee is already into their investigation. There's a House Intelligence Committee review underway. Earlier this month, the Senate Judiciary Committee announced a third congressional investigation into whether Russia had influenced the election. So this proposed independent citizen commission would be the fourth one. Now, all House Democrats signed on to this bill. Jones is the only Republican. But what they want like a 12-member commission that would have subpoena power, and they would have the ability to interview witnesses, and they would hold public hearings and include a range of documents. And at the very end of it, they would release a formal report. And so that's what the administration doesn't want. The other thing that people should know about this is that all of these investigations will take time. I've heard some talk on Twitter and even, you know, in the news that this whatever these investigations would turn up, we would know in a matter of months. And that probably is not the case. It most definitely is not the case. Because, frankly, no hearings from any of these standing committees have even been scheduled. And that's the fear. The fear that Democrats have is that Republicans are reacting to the uproar in the media right now about the Flynn allegations. But once that subsides, the pursuit of these investigations will wane down.
But you know Washington, Jeff, the leaks will continue and the story will continue for perhaps years. Walter Jones, famous for his independence, why did he break ranks this time with the Republicans?
You know, I have not been able to interview him and ask him why he chose to break ranks. Everything I've seen in published reports suggests that he thought that there was something, that there was some fire beneath this smoke, and that it was worth investigating. And as you said, he has an independent streak and has shown a willingness before to sort of, you know, buck precedent and buck the party.
I've only got
that was why he felt
20 seconds left, but Richard Burr, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, a North Carolina Republican, tell us about the Senate Intelligence Committee, which could, you know, very easily weigh in on this.
Yeah, they're doing their own investigation. Last week, they sent formal requests to more than a dozen organizations and individuals asking them to preserve all the materials related to their investigation. And that happened the same day the committee members met with the FBI director, James Comey, and got a classified investigation. But Burr is promising to cast a wide net here.
All right, Jeff Bennett, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Sure, take care.
Jeff Bennett, Washington reporter for Time Warner Cable News. Just ahead, a new book explores the ritual surrounding modern death. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.